back to Ping. This is episode 141. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 141.
That was awesome.
141 episodes of Ping, where Paul and I discuss the hottest things that Microsofties are talking.
Pinging each other about.
Pinging about, talking about, all of that stuff. And last week, I wasn't here.
You weren't. It was a boys without boys.
Yes, how'd it go? Did you miss me?
I think the Niners may have missed you a little bit.
Just a little bit.
But it was nice to have Eric on the show and actually have someone that knows more stuff about server manageability.
That is something I look forward to in a conversation when I'm deciding who I want to spend my time talking to.
Yeah.
Whether or not they know about server manageability,
and then
for sure.
And if they do, then you say, I want to talk to somebody else.
Right.
Got it.
Pretty much.
And what did you do last week?
Last week I was out of town.
Oh.
Out of town.
Wonderful. That's great.
On location. Shooting. But I did have to look up because I was wondering if he had any relationship to the Incredible Hulk.
Yes.
But apparently their last names are spelled differently. Bruce Banner and Eric Banner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
little different spelling.
But if you're from Boston, it's pronounced the same.
Right. Yeah. I think he's Norwegian-Egyptian mix, but grew up in Cleveland.
Well, he looks slightly green.
Yeah?
That's all I'm saying.
It's probably due to the lighting that we have here with, you know, all this flashiness going on. But
I did appreciate your wordament tips and tricks.
Yeah? Did you watch the video?
Yeah.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Did you watch me, like... No, you didn't.
Did I watch you, play with your finger on your hand?
Yeah.
I watched you do that. It was amazing.
You're one of the nine people that watched that.
No, it was a good episode. I enjoyed it very much. You know, and I liked the Windows Phone Marketplace discussion.
Yeah.
I did skim the Hyper-V conversation.
Right. Okay.
But the rest of it was meaty.
Really?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I think that's the first time that you watch an episode with only me and without
I know.
You.
Well, it's review time's coming up.
Oh, okay. So you want to make sure to have high quality content.
That's right. But I think the highest quality content, should we just start this week's show?
Oh, it's going to be the best.
Unless you have anything else to say.
No, it's good.
All right, Paul, I don't know if you know this, but two of my favorite things in the world is beer and vodka. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
You did know that.
Yeah.
Well, the Kinect.
I thought it was vodka brand A and a chaser of vodka brand B.
No. It would more be like a Pinot Grigio and a nice Pinot Noir.
Oh, I see.
But aside from my alcoholic tendencies,
yep.
I also like playing the Kinect and going to Disneyland, a.k.a. The happiest place on earth.
Yeah, I really like how family-friendly we started and continued throughout this introduction.
We have to shake it up. You never know what we're going to say.
That's
anyway,
right.
There's two pretty cool titles out for the Kinect right now. One is called Kinect Rush, a Disney Pixar adventure, and another one is called Kinect Disneyland Adventures. And there's a couple of cool things I want to tell you about.
Yeah?
Cool things.
One, break it down for me.
TechEd North America is coming up, and it's in Orlando.
Yep.
Obviously, home of Disney World.
Yes.
I'm not going to go there, but I am going to Disneyland. And by playing...
At the same time?
At the same time.
Wow.
And by playing Kinect Disneyland Adventures, you actually tour through the real-life map of Disneyland.
Really?
Which is cool. So I already know, because I'm from New York, I go to Disney World all the time, but like my friends who had never been to Disneyland are now playing the game, and then when they get to Disneyland...
They can be like, I've already been here.
Almost
so
like they don't
boring.
Need to go. No. There's nothing boring about Disneyland.
Really?
Oh my God.
I haven't...
It's amazing.
I don't think I've been to Disneyland. I've been to Disney World, though.
Florida.
Yes.
Yeah, it's bigger and better, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Disneyland is bigger than Disney
World?
No, World
is better.
Okay, yeah.
Land was first.
That makes sense.
Disneyland was first, but... Anyway, let's get back to the topic
right.
at hand.
So there was the other one with some of the favorite Pixar characters, right?
Yeah, and so the cool thing here, and we're going to show you. So my little friend Zoe, who's probably on the screen right now, she was creating her character. So, you know, you go in, you create your character to make it look just like you. Or you can make it look like whoever, but we all know we want to make it look just like us.
And doesn't it scan you to try and guess like your features?
Yeah, yeah. So she stood there in front of the screen, and it recognized, oh, she's got blonde hair and a ponytail and a pink shirt with short sleeves and jeans on. And so it makes her, oh, here's a little Zoe avatar. And then it turns her little Zoe avatar into some of her favorite characters from Pixar films.
Oh, that's cool. So she had like her own little incredible superhero.
Yeah!
That's pretty cool.
That's really cool. And then like Zoe the car. And like Zoe from Toy Story.
And
really cool.
And then for Up, was she like Zoe a balloon that goes off into the sky?
No, I have to go back and check, because I was running cameras really hard to pay attention to everything all at once.
And Ratatouille, she's like, oh, you're Zoe a rat.
I remember Zoe the rat, actually, but they made her a really cute rat, which is good.
That's nice.
Anyway, it's really cool, so you guys should check out this game. And then the other thing which is awesome is they've partnered with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So every time somebody purchases Kinect Disneyland Adventures at the Microsoft Store in the month of May, Microsoft actually donates $15, which is a
large percentage for buying just a game, right?
Yeah, it's a large percentage. So it's $15 to make a wish. So not only do you get to experience what it's like to go to Disneyland and have fun playing the Kinect, but help out a very charitable organization.
Yeah, Microsoft's going to donate somewhere between $100,000 and almost $250,000 to this charity. So that's.
Are you the Kinect player, Paul?
Unfortunately, I have a really, really big couch. So it's hard for me to like really get into a Kinect game, but I do like waving at the screen because
you don't need to run around the room. You stand still, essentially. Not still, but like in the same circle of space.
If you were ever to come to the parties that I invite you to at my
place. I've never been invited to a party at your place.
That's why.
Oh.
All right.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Paul, so recently there was a blog post out about some of the new features of Bing.
Yeah,
Your favorite friendly search engine.
Yeah, well, Bing, it was a decision engine. Now Bing
it was
is,
a deci-
and now it's for doing.
Bing is for doing.
Bing is for doing. We've covered that here on Bing. But now, what the Bing team has done is a pretty incredible integration with a lot of the social networks that are out there. Mm-hmm. And makes Bing incredibly social. Now, before we had the social links and being able to see what people had liked right in the search results.
So I like that.
If you had integrated it and people had, you know, liked something on Facebook, you would see some of the social relevance taken into account in the organic search results. Now we are seeing a trend in the industry that sometimes people are confused about how that relevance is made and what is social and what isn't social. So the Bing team has done an incredible job of trying to do a new pivot in this area. So they first off made the Bing results a lot cleaner.
Okay.
So just like, you know, white background, fewer colors makes it much more visually appealing and simple to parse.
Not unlike the Channel 9 page.
Yeah.
Clean and white background.
I think it's a lot different than Channel 9 pages. Channel 9 pages has a bunch of stuff going on.
And good quality stuff, but it's clean.
Like pink.
Continue.
Anyway, now there are two additional columns that go to the right of the organic search results. So in the middle column, they have something called the snapshot.
Right.
And the snapshot is a way to find detailed information about places and things. So you can get information about, like, for example, information from OpenTable, where you can get reservations.
Movies, hotels, things like that.
And on the right side, there's the new social sidebar, so that you can see activity of what people are doing on Facebook, on Google+, on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
You can find out and ask questions of your friends, as well as people who may be experts or perceived as experts on the internet.
I'm excited for this particular search. I mean, from personal experience, I recently booked a hotel at Disneyland.
Yeah.
But I have done so many searches, reading so many different, you know, TripAdvisor.com and various reviews, trying to find out which is the best hotel for the money and which has the right pool and which is close enough, you know what I mean?
And then you realize you could just mention it on Ping and then write it off as a business expense.
Why didn't I think of that? No, but if I had this functionality, I think that would have been really, really useful. Here's my fear, because I'm not completely clear about how it works. There's this
amazing.
Amazing. So there's this thing on Facebook, I don't know if you've noticed it recently. So if I go and watch a video that my friend watched on like
Social Cam
or Chill or whatever, then it posts to my page.
Yeah.
Laura just watched this video. Yep. Laura just read this article. Laura just did this. I hate that.
Really?
I hate that.
Well, that's...
Why does everyone need to know what I'm doing?
Well, that's what's called frictionless sharing, and that was introduced in the last major platform update from Facebook.
I hate it.
And you're the one that provisioned those apps to post it to your
timeline. I understand that, because that's the only way I can watch the videos or read the article. So I have to watch them, read them, then go back in and delete them.
No, you don't have to delete them. What you can do is you can set the settings on that app to post that to your timeline, but only be visible to you. That way it posts
that
the timeline,
like,
and then I don't see it.
You don't want to see it.
Yeah.
My fear here is that if I were to do a search on Disneyland hotels, that and talk to some people on my Bing page that this would also show up in all my social feeds. And right. I don't really need everyone knowing what I'm searching for, what I'm asking, who I'm doing.
That's a great thing to be afraid of and something that the Bing team's actually taken into account. So whatever you're searching for in the organic results is not going to show up on Facebook. The only thing that shows up on Facebook is if you put something in on the right-hand side where there's a big Facebook logo
right
next to it where you can type in a question saying, hey, you know, does anyone have any recommendations for hotels near Disneyland? And what that will do is there's, you know, with the partnership between Bing, which is great for doing search and relevance with all these different networks, is they then look for relevant terms associated with that. So you typed in California, you typed in Disneyland hotel.
Yeah.
So it's going to try and search through a lot of the information that it's pulled from your...
from my friends.
From your history and your friends and whatever the app has access to. For example, I really don't like my friends provisioning third-party apps to look at my data. So I've just unchecked all of that in Facebook. So there's no way that someone else can install an app and have it look at my data. So we abide by all...
I want to do that.
Yeah, I know, right? Maybe I'll write a blog post about it and send it to you. But we abide by all the top privacy standards. We make sure that we're not showing you information that you didn't already have access to.
Ooh.
And we're making sure that people can still count on having the organic search results without posting any of this information to Facebook.
Good.
But we're making it easier to facilitate that communication between your friends and get you incredibly relevant social information in a place that you can understand its impact.
I'm so glad I have you, Paul.
I know. I'm glad I have me, too. Here on Ping, we're always bringing you some of the hottest things coming out of Microsoft Research. And there was recently an article and video posted called Soundwave, which seemed like a very interesting take on being able to do gesture recognition.
Well, they uses, instead of a camera, instead of the Kinect camera that we all know and love, it actually just uses a frequency that you can hear that's emitted from your speakers. So it just uses sound.
Right, yeah. So
like a bat navigating through a cave.
Yeah, it's like sonar.
Yeah.
With Kinect, they have both the camera as well as the infrared depth sensor. And with Soundwave, they do a really clever play on the Doppler effect. And for those of you that don't know what the Doppler effect is, it's where a sound wave that goes that's coming from a source that's moving will actually sound different based on where you are. So if something is moving closer to you and making a sound, the frequency is going to sound a lot different than when it's moving away from you, because with it continually emitting new sounds, you'll be able to hear it differently. So the way that this works with a laptop, for example, is that with your speakers emitting sound, it can determine that it's, you know, bouncing off your hands, it's bouncing off your body. It can figure out over time where your hands or the gestures that are being made are, and then apply those to kind of interesting use cases.
Yeah. Now, when I was reading about it, I kind of just immediately assumed I would need some super high-tech speakers, you know, with like some fancy like receiving system, like a microphone, to like be able to actually hear my hands going like this. But then you watch the video, and the guy's got old laptop.
Yeah, you know, standard laptop.
Things
standard
that just
speakers,
come embedded
microphone.
With most anything.
And then that's what's actually cool about this technology is right now the Kinect sensor costs quite a bit of money, and it costs us a lot of money to research it and develop it and bring
so
down
cool.
the costs. It is very cool, but if we want to get this out to billions of people in a very short time frame, sure, the price of the Kinect will drop over time, at least the development cost for it. But the speakers that we have in every computer around the world are already there.
Yeah.
So it could just be a software package that people can install, or an API, or something that we could potentially expose. Right now, it's not available to people.
Right, still in research,
but
still developing.
It really is interesting how this can be applied to different scenarios. So there's just the general hand waviness, where like you can scroll things up, which really, you know, if you're already at a laptop, you probably want to just use the keyboards or like flick it with your finger anyway. But one of the interesting use cases that I thought that they had was when somebody could walk away from a laptop or a computer, it could turn the computer off or it could lock it, and then when they walk back toward it, mm-hmm. it could light it back up. So there could be really simple things like that that could help with power saving, for example,
sure.
where you can have some type of proximity sensor based off of this motion and the sound.
You know what else is cool for? Fruit Ninja.
Fruit Ninja, yeah.
Just in front of your laptop.
Well, they showed how you could play...
Or power saving.
Yeah. Well, they showed how you could play Tetris with it. And I was like, I could destroy that guy in Tetris.
So, there you go.
Yeah. But anyway...
But stories like this really freak me out whenever we have stories.
Everything freaks you out.
Anytime
being
we have
social
stories,
freaks you out.
Maybe I am really paranoid in my old age, you know? But anytime we have stories about people sending weird waves through the air that are connecting with our body and going through us and changing things computerized on the inside.
Oh, you mean like cell phone waves?
Don't like it.
Microwaves.
Don't even
CD
really
radio,
understand how
radio,
cameras
HD
work.
Radio.
They're kind of
satellites, you know, everything. I think what would also be cool about this is if this could be combined with the Kinect so that the motion sensitive, like the details of your motions could be much more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's part of this research project or not, but I imagine that
is now.
There we go. Just write the patent.
There it is.
Put me on there as primary inventor. But anyway, let us know what you guys think.
All right, last thing we want to tell you about is everybody loves a good deal.
And everyone does.
A good deal, a steal of a deal.
Yeah, that's why we made Bing Deals.
That's right. And probably on Bing Deals, you'll be able to find out about this, but we're going to tell you anyway. You can now get a Microsoft, an Xbox 360 for $99.
$99,
which is a lot cheaper than any other gaming system out there. And in fact, that's the Xbox with the Kinect.
Yeah.
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 We were just talking about the price of the Kinect. So now you get them both for $99. There's a catch.
There is a little bit of a catch.
A little catch.
Where we're now experimenting with flexible pricing models where we now have, I think in economics terms, it's called a two-part tariff.
Yeah, it is.
Of course. So we have an upfront cost, and then there's an ongoing cost. So you could buy this bundle for $99, but you have to sign up for essentially 2 years of a special Xbox Gold subscription.
Right, which if you were already going to sign up for, because let's be real, if you have an Xbox 360, you probably want a live account.
Probably.
So it's a great deal because you were going to pay for it anyway.
Yeah, but it's not the standard $60 a year live account. You have to pay $15 a month, and you pay it in monthly increments versus paying it at a year at a time.
Right.
So this ultimately costs you, I think, about
$360,
was it? Yeah, $360 plus $99, so $459. But then you have like the net present value of the future money, so
right.
those $360 right. can be discounted over.
Look at that.
Yeah.
So is it a deal?
It could be a deal, depending on whether you want to put it all up front or you want to put it, you slowly pay for it over time. It's kind of like mortgaging a house. Like you either drop a whole bunch of cash up
and
front.
And you save money.
Right, and then you can write it off on your taxes.
Right.
And do all these.
I think you can write off the Xbox purchase on your taxes.
Well, it depends if you use it for business.
I can, and it's part of work.
Of course, obviously.
I just learned something.
Anyway, you guys let us know if you would rather buy an Xbox up front for us or if you just want to pay for our monthly subscription fees. It'd be nice.
And we'll do that.
Okay.
And that about wraps up this week's episode of Ping. I feel like we've gone on and on. Actually, just you've really gone on. You're lippy today.
I know. It's because I care and I like educating people and saying things that are incredibly boring. But thankfully, you're here to smile. So
So there you go. But anyway, follow me on Twitter at Elfoy.
At Paul Mess or Facebook.com/Paul.Messmaker or Paul.Messmaker.com/blog. Or just look me up through Laura.
There you go.
Then we'll be good to go.
All right, we'll see you next week.